the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him, and everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum, and welcome to this episode of today's special, where we are talking about taking sins lightly.
سيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يوما بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي.
Today, Sunday, is the 11th of Rabi Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We are Muslims, we are Shia, so we start everything by the name of Allah. For today, we listen to verses 38 to 39 from chapter Ash-Shura. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. والذين استجابوا لربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
And those who have responded to their Lord and established prayer, and whose affair is determined by consultation among themselves, and from what we have provided them, they spend.
والذين إذا أصابهم البغي هم ينتصرون.
And those who, when tyranny strikes them, they defend themselves.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Attending to divine lordship enthuses man to act upon divine injunctions. Those who love establishing prayers and expending in the cause of Allah shall reap better and enduring bounties in the hereafter. It is worthy of note that it is incumbent upon Muslims to defend themselves with seeking aid from believers. Silence against being wronged is forbidden. It is incumbent upon Muslims to forgive believers, but believers are supposed to defend themselves against wrongdoers and seek aid from other believers. This is today's special, which looks at taking sins lightly as a dangerous thing. One should not belittle its slight proportion of sins as they eventually mount up to become eventual failure, just like drops of water ultimately from an ocean. The act of not weighing minor wrongdoings in importance leads to make habit of committing them in daily life, which is the cause of being unsuccessful in front of the creator of the universe. An actual disciple of the religion of peace knows the amount of harm a single act of crime does to it. A staunch advocate of Islamic teachings takes each sin as a black spot on its heart, which adds up to blackening of the entire heart eventually.
the messenger of Almighty Allah saying as a believer treats a sin as if it is a mountain over his head that may fall on him any moment, whereas a regular violator looks at them as a fly that parked on his nose and he waved it away with his hand.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, in this show we are going to talk about the little sins, or let's say small sins that sometimes are going to be a prelude to a big sin, and we have to be careful not to be tempted by Satan, and we have to consider that the worst sin is to think of it as a small sin. Let's use a simile and liken sin to a weed. So sin is like a weed that, if not controlled by the gardener, his garden will be destroyed by pest, just as a diligent farmer should not allow weeds to grow even if they are small. A wise person should not even in his mind actually have such imagination and thinking to be led towards sin. He should think about committing a sin, of course. A wise person should not even in his mind think about committing a sin. Of course, no matter how small the sin is, it's like a weed, as we said earlier, that if not fought against, it will ruin a person's religion and faith to lead to a great sin. A sin is a dirty at any time and in any place, and it injures the person, its owner, threatens his reputation with various dangers, and troubles his job and his social status and social position and status, and even it ruins his family.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
One of the conditions of forgiveness is that the sin should not be repeated again and again. One of the proofs that repetition of smaller sins turns them into greater sins is that Allah has made the giving up of sin its forgiveness and a condition for entering paradise. Forgiveness and repentance can be achieved only if the sinner remembers Allah the Almighty and turns his attention towards Him with a sincere heart. Merely chanting istighfar in a mechanical way will not avail him. The consequences of committing a sin repeatedly is that the sinner develops a disregard for divine commandments and gradually reaches a state when he thinks them to be unimportant. Under these conditions, he has no desire to submit himself to the will and pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and remembrance of Allah does not affect him. However, this occurs only when one persists in sins intentionally.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see, is thanks to you.
As a suggestion, we have an amazing tips to stop sinning. One way or one tip is reading about Jahannam or the hell and the consequences of our actions. because sometimes we do things and we forget what actually it entails. Read about the food and drink of people in Jahannam. When I read about the disgrace of the people of Jahannam or the hell, that they are far away from Allah, that should scare me. That should worry me. There should be a barrier between me and watching haram and listening to haram and going to a place that is haram and saying things that are haram. Another tip is this. We forget and we need to remind ourselves. As you know, human being always is forgetful. We forget everything. And we need to remind ourselves. And one of the best way to remind ourselves is to go to cemeteries, to remember that. When I go to visit cemeteries, I recall death. I imagine that I will be 6 feet under. Who is going to help me? There is no chance to rectify things. So always remind some important things and pillars in life.
The nafs al-lawwama, the self-retributing, the part of the soul that makes you feel bad. You feel the guilt, you feel the shame after doing something wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in Surah Al-Qiyamah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La uqsimu biyawm al-Qiyamah, wa la uqsimu bin nafs al-lawwama. There's a part of the soul that is lawwama. It makes you feel bad, especially when you've done something wrong. You feel the shame and the guilt. Why did I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But this feeling, this censor, it's only so strong with some people. With some other people, they don't feel the guilt. They don't feel the shame. Why? Because now they're so used to sinning. They're so used to disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the censor doesn't even work anymore. That this alarm system, this warning system, it doesn't even have an impact on you anymore. It doesn't do anything. Because you keep crossing the alarm. You keep passing the red lines until you don't even feel it. And this is what is referred to in the Quran as قَسْوَةَ الْقَلْبِ, the hardening of the heart. When the heart hardens, then therefore it's not going to feel guilt. It's not going to feel shame. It's not going to feel bad for hurting and doing anything wrong. Not everyone, you know, the criminals, a serial killer, they don't start off from the beginning of their life committing all the crimes. They slowly progress until they reach that level. The first time they commit a small crime, they commit a small sin, they feel bad about it. And then they go and they keep crossing the line. They keep crossing further and further and further until they don't feel it anymore.
I think it's an important topic for us. So inshallah, we continue speaking and knowing more about this topic, and that is considering sins lightly. That is so dangerous. So we can meet each other on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi. محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and here is a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. The most helpless of all persons is he who cannot find a few brothers during his life, but a still more helpless is he who finds such a brother but loses him.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a beautiful hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about the vigilance of the soul, being careful about one's soul, careful that it doesn't, you know, commit a sin, watching over it, and you know, being in protecting it from the act of committing a sin. In this hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The scriptures of Prophet Abraham contain the following: the rational man, as long as he is of sound reason, must put aside several hours during the day, an hour for conversing with his Lord, an hour for self-scrutiny and accounting for himself, an hour to ponder over Allah's favors bestowed upon him, and an hour to spend on his own lawful pleasures." So in this hadith, the Prophet said that a person should divide his day into a number of different parts, a number of different hours. And those hours are the following. He should spend an hour talking to God, to speaking to God. Of course, this doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you should like actually speak, you know, it could be like, doesn't mean that you actually pick up a book of dua and, you know, recite it. It could mean just, you know, sit down and talk to God, think about him, speak to him, even if it's in your heart or your mind. The second is an hour for self-scrutiny. And usually one should sit down, think about what one has done during the day or even in one's life, and take one's self to account for it. Think about and you know, scold oneself if one has, you know, committed, you know, a sin or whatever. And then an hour one should spend thinking about Allah's favors that, you know, He has bestowed upon him. This is also important for a person to do. And then a person should spend an hour on his own lawful pleasures, you know, spending time with one's family, doing something that one likes, one enjoys. The Prophet in the end of the hadith is interesting. He alluded to the reason why one should actually spend an hour for himself. The Prophet said, "For this one hour will be an aid to him in fulfilling his other hours." Right? Meaning this will help him in his fulfillment of his religious responsibilities, as well as a time to recuperate and relax. Those other hours, sometimes they can be very burdensome and tiring. You know, it can be spiritually and even physically, it can, you know, take a toll on a person, on his health, his mental health as well as physical health. You know, it's important to therefore relax and recuperate, and the way to do so is to, you know, spend time, you know, on oneself and be happy. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the enjoyment of self-scrutiny in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجه.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we have again, alhamdulillah, some of the students of Sevier International School with us in this session. And before we start the class, let me say hello to each of them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah, and how are you?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Salam, salam.
I'm fine, how are you?
Oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Welcome. And Hassan Nasrullah, how are you doing?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Salam alaikum.
I'm fine, sir.
Okay.
How are you?
That's great. Thank you so much. Welcome. So, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, we really recommend you stay with us till the end of the session. Inshallah, you will benefit and we all will benefit from the verses of the Quran Kareem. So, brother Hassan and Hussein, today, inshallah, our topic is to work on Ayah 60 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And I really recommend our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, please grab your Quran, go to Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 60 of Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah. Stay with us till the end of this session. We will have a short explanation and also, most importantly, we will be working on the tajweed rules, important tajweed rules in this ayah. So, before we start reciting it and explaining about it, let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِب بِّعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرَ فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَا عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَّشْرَبَهُمْ كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِن رِّزْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ.
MashaAllah, what a nice recitation. I loved it. How about you?
Yes.
Thank you. So, now I will be, inshallah, reciting it. Make sure you repeat after me.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه فقلنا اضرب بعصاك الحجر وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه فقلنا اضرب بعصاك الحجر فانفجرت منه اثنتا عشرة عينا فانفجرت منه اثنتا عشرة عينا قد علم كل أناس مشربهم قد علم كل أناس مشربهم كلوا واشربوا من رزق الله ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين كلوا واشربوا من رزق الله ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين.
الحمد لله. Thank you so much. Thank you, Hassan and Hussein, for practicing with our brothers and sisters. So, وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. And when Prophet Moses عليه السلام prayed for water for his people, and he asked Allah Almighty to send some rain, okay, we said to Prophet Musa, Allah Almighty says, strike the rock with your staff, that walking stick, okay? Hit the water, okay? Hit the rock, okay? With your walking stick. Thereat, 12 fountains, okay? 12 fountains gushed forth from it. Fountains. Every tribe came to know its drinking place and Then Allah Almighty says, eat and drink of Allah's provision, the rizq, the blessings of Allah Almighty, okay? And do not act wickedly on the earth, causing corruption. So, look, Allah Almighty tells us to use the rizq of Allah Almighty, okay? And we should not be someone who is causing corruption. It means do not be kind of, be among those who are thankful, okay, to Allah Almighty because of the blessings. In this ayah, one thing I want to tell you, فَقُلْنَا ضُرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. When Prophet Musa alayhi salam hit the rock with his staff, okay, فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَةَ عَشْرَةَ عَيْنَ. 12 fountains of water gushed out. Is it a miracle or no?
Yes.
Yes, it's a miracle. One point I want to tell you, that the miracles and the magics, let's talk about them a little bit. Miracles are not the same as magics. Even they are completely different. Why? Because magics are things that people, they learn themselves and they try to find some tricks to do magics, okay? But miracles are taught by Allah Almighty. Look, Allah Almighty says, فَقُلْنَا ضُرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. Allah Almighty says, do it and we will make it a miracle. فَانْفَجَرَتْ. So Allah Almighty did it. Yes?
Yes.
So a miracle is something which is taught by Allah Almighty. Okay? But magics are people. Miracles are things that everyone cannot do it. Everyone cannot prove or show a miracle. But magics, everyone can learn it and do it. So miracles cannot be taught to anyone, okay? Special people. Prophets and imams. That's it. Okay? Now, you cannot go to a teacher like you go to prophet. Oh, prophet, teach me how to do miracles. Come on, it's not magic. That's different, okay? And miracle is something which is heavenly. But magic is something which is haram. It is forbidden. Okay? So, guys, I hope, inshallah, you refer to the Tafasir book, okay, for explanations. I just mentioned one point from this ayah. Now, let's go to the Tajweed Rus, which is the main part of our discussion, our sessions. يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
وإذ استسقى. استسقى, you have to pronounce it استسقى, because the third letter is having a fatha. We had a rule for Hamzatul Wasl. To pronounce Hamzatul Wasl, we have two rules. Actually, two cases. Either Hamzatul Wasl is with a word which is noun, or Hamzatul Wasl is with a word which is verb. If it, this is a verb. With the verbs, we have again two cases. We have to take a look at the third letter of the word. If the third letter of the word has a fatha or a kasra, then Hamzatul Wasl will be assigned with a kasra. E. Istasqa. Look, the third letter has a fatha. Or a kasra, again, you have to assign Hamzatul Wasl with kasra. But whenever you see that Hamzatul Wasl is there, and look at the third letter of the word. If the third letter of the word has a dhamma, u sound, so Hamzatul Wasl will be assigned with
dhamma.
U. If the ta was tu, not ta, tu, you would have said ustasqa. Okay,
yes.
Ustusqa. Okay? But since the letter ta has a fatha, so the fatha and kasra go in the same, under the same rule, okay? You put a kasra. But now, if, wa if istasqa. Now, because we have, actually, if is a dhalis sakin. There is a kasra, but in reality, a dhalis sakin, okay? Wa if qala. وَإِذْ آتَيْنَا. Look, it's the same word, okay? It is sakin. Then you have Hamzatul Wasl. Two sakin letters. A letter sakin plus Hamzatul Wasl sakin. So in this case, you put a kasra with the letter which is sakin, which is before Hamzatul Wasl. Dhal, yes? Put a kasra with dhal and join it with the letter seen. You skip Hamzatul Wasl here because you join two letters, two words, okay? Which Hamzatul Wasl occurs in the middle. So you do not say wa udhu wa idha stasqa wa idhu stasqa. No, wa idhu stasqa. We have a rule: idh iltaqata sakinatayn, when two sakin letters meet one another, okay, hurrik bil kasr, put a kasra at the first for the first one and read it. Wa idhu stasqa. Simple as that. Wa idhu stasqa. Musa li qawmihi he. There is a long sound. فَقُلْنَا اضْرِب. Okay, Hassan, I told you, you have to take a look at the third letter of the word, okay? Look at the third letter of the word, اضْرِب. Does it have a kasra, fatha, dhamma?
Kasra.
Yes. So you assign hamzatul wasl of this word with?
Kasra.
اضْرِب. If you start from the word اضْرِب, you say اضْرِب. But because you join them together, the previous word and this word, you skip Hamzatul Wasl. فَقُلْنَا اضْرِب. There is no kasra for it. Now, فَقُلْنَا. Noon has a long vowel sound. But next word starts with Hamzatul Wasl. We had a rule that if you have a mad letter plus Hamzatul Wasl and you have to skip Hamzatul Wasl, you also have to skip the mad sound. Put a short vowel sound with it. فَقُلْنَا ضُرِبْ. Instead, you should say فَقُلْنَا ضُرِبْ. Not نَضْرِبْ. نَضْرِبْ. Fast. نَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرُ. There is a word صَلَى or صَلِي. What does it say?
Better to stop.
Better to stop. No way. That was قَلَى or قَلِي.
Better to go.
Better to go. Better to continue. You can stop here. But it's better to continue. فَانْفَجَرَتْ نُونْ سَاكِينْ plus فَا. Rest of the letters, إِخْفَى for sure. مِنْهُ. مِنْهُ. نُونْ سَاكِينْ plus ha. Throat letters. Merge, hide, change, no rule. Which one?
No rule.
No rule. Because ha is throat letter. Yes. مِنْهُثْنَتَ. So Hamzatul Wasl is skipped here. مِنْهُثْنَتَ. عشرة عينا. But when you stop, Tanween Fatha is changed to Hassan. Change to
Alif Mad.
Alif Mad. Hassan. عشرة عينا. If you stop here, it's better to continue because صلاة we have here. Yeah, صلاة or صلي we have here. Now, قد علم كل أناس. Tanween plus ميم. أناس مشربهم. Yes. أناس مشربهم. إدغام, right? أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ نُنْ سَاكِنْ plus ra. What rule is applied, Hussein?
Merge
them, yes? Without غُنَّة. Yes, مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ. Do not pronounce the noon. Join ميم to ra. مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ. رِزْقِ قَاف has a كَسْرَة. Plus the word Allah. We said if the word Allah is preceded by a kasra, the letter lam of the word Allah is pronounced lightly.
Yes.
Rizqilla, not rizqillah.
Yes.
Right, Hassan? Rizqilla. Wala ta'thaw fil ardi mufsidi. Simple as that. All the important rules in this ayah were mentioned. So I hope, inshallah, you've learned something. Make sure you practice, okay, and apply the rules once again. And for the explanation, because each ayah has a lot of explanations and a lot of things to learn about, so please refer to the Tafasir book or interpretations. Thank you so much. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the coming sessions, in the coming days as well. Stay with us. And thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network, Hassan Hussein. Brothers, if you have anything to say,
no.
Now say bye-bye to our friends.
Bye.
Bye-bye, inshallah. See you. Stay with us. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala muhammad wa alihi muhammad wa ajjil farajam.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya Mawla, ya fa kayfa yabqa fil adhab wa huwa yarju ma salafa min hilmik am kayfa tu'limuhu an-nar wa huwa ya'mul fadlaka wa rahmatak كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه
Dear listeners, you already know we were discussing this part of the Kumail supplication. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك My protector, how should he remain in the chastisement while he has hope for your previous clemency? أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك How should the fire cause him pain while he expects your bounty and mercy? أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه How should its flames burn him while you hear his voice and see his place? أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه? How should its groaning encompass him while you know his weakness? أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه? Or how should he be convulsed among its levels while you know his sincerity? Regarding this part, we started with the explanation of the vast ocean of mercy of Almighty Allah, and one of its wonders of His mercy is that He grants great blessings for few acts of the servants just because they have accompanied a supplication with action and amal. We said that there are some norms and sunan operating in this life of ours that the Almighty Allah has set them in. And supplication is not negating these norms. These norms tell us that we have to accompany supplication with amal. We have to employ those natural means and we do rely on them. But it is an extension to the interaction with Allah. This is also implying the meaning of relying on him. It is not relying on someone else when it is an extension to his will, it is an extension to his interaction. It is relying on him alone. In fact, this is the essence of monotheism and tawheed, toward which the Holy Quran invites the people. The effect of natural causes is not in parallel to or independent of his existence, an act of Allah. That's what we see in this part of the supplication. The supplicant is praying to Almighty Allah in all affairs. The supplicant is asking him for everything, small or big. In this case, he is asking him that while he is in chastisement, he is still hopeful of him. And such is the case with our life, with mundane worldly affairs. None of our affairs in life should be an exception to this principle. We should not consider ourselves needless of Allah in any of our needs and requests. We should not rely on other than Him from among His creatures.
My Lord, then how could he remain in torment when he hopefully relies upon your past forbearance, compassion and mercy? And how can the fire cause him suffering when he hopes for your grace and mercy? And how can its roaring flames shower him when you hear his voice and see his plight?
Thank you, Allah,
that we hear,
feeling so good
about all the things that we went through,
knowing that God
is pleased with us too.
It's not a dream,
this is so true,
and we know we'll be here forever.
The feeling is indescribable,
knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, as we understood, we believe that seeking asylum with Allah in everything, asking Him for everything, this does not contradict our employment of the means which Allah has created for us and made subservient to Him in this world. So we pray to Allah for our health and recovery from illness, and we utilize all the things and means Almighty Allah has placed for remedy and physical well-being in the field of medicine. This is so important to the extent that we believe if one were to break this equilibrium and pray to Allah away from the norms of Allah in this universe, his prayer should not be answered. And based on the tradition, he would be like an archer who shoots without a bow. Now, this is what our supplications are replete with. This is what Islam is trying to educate us. Islam, based on this subtle and clear vision, is trying to educate us as to how to deal with Allah and His norms in the universe. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam has taught us throughout his entire life and in his words. And with this very perspective, we find the supplications of all the infallible imams, all the a'immah, replete with beseeching Allah, and He alone should take charge of the affairs of the servants, and not to make the other servants dependent on other than Himself. We learn that the true supplicant, the true believer, should connect his cord to the cord of Almighty Allah and cut himself off from all the things that cuts him off from the Almighty Allah. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English,
for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through
our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a question that kind of gets asked. That is regarding the utensils that we use to eat. As you know, Islam is a perfect religion. It has rules for everything. A lot of the foundation for Islamic manners and behavior is the sunnah and the behavior, the words, even the silence of the infallible imams and the Holy Prophet. In the context of this general rule, we ask whether is there anything specific that has been mentioned regarding these utensils? You know, today everybody uses forks, plates, spoons to eat. Is there something about this in the Quran and Hadith or not? And if there is, what should these utensils be made out of? Iron, wood, you know, what? In order to answer this question, we can say that from a purely jurisprudential and fiqhi point of view, it's okay to eat in any kind of utensil, except when the utensil is made of gold or silver. Right, this is something which has been specifically prohibited. But other than that, as long as the utensils are clean, ritually pure, tahir, there's no problem in eating from them. Right? There is a certain reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used a wooden utensil to eat. At the same time, there's nothing that would indicate that using a specific type of material to construct the utensil from which we eat is better or not. So this hadith.